Good morning, everyone. Today's Daf Nedarim is Samech Dalet. We are ready to embark, not yet ready to embark on the ninth parak of the Masechta. We still have a little bit of the eighth to finish up. Missed a day of learning, for good reason. Not for a good reason, but to fulfill the halacha. But so we're going to cover now the Mishnah on the bottom of Samech Yom Amud Aleph, and we're going to finish the eighth parak, and then obviously move on to embark on the ninth parak of the Masechta. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf Office on Masech and Nishmas Libby Gabriela Bashmuel. Let's take a look together at the Mishnah on Samech Yom Amud Aleph. The Mishnah reads, Konem Yain Sheni Tom L'Shana Nit Abra Shana Aserba V'Ibu Ra. Mishnah describes how a person makes a year-long commitment not to drink wine. So the neder is for a year, and then Nit Abra Shana, and then lo and behold, the year becomes now a full year, a year in which an extra adar was added. Just as a basic introduction, this is information we've gone over a number of times. So we know that in order to keep the solar year and the lunar year aligned, so another month has to be added on to the solar year. The solar year is a total of 354 days per on average, and the solar year is 365 days. So about 11-day discrepancy that exists between a solar and a lunar year. Given just three short years, already the lunar year starts lagging behind by a full month over that of a solar year. So in order to keep up, so approximately every third year, another month is added. Nowadays, we have a fixed calendar, which means that the part of the fixed calendar is that we already have a set schedule of every 19 years. Seven of those 19 years are going to be an Ibra year, and we know even more specifically which of those 19 years, and there is a mnemonic to help us remember, which I'm not going to go over now, because I don't remember it. But Bizmana Beis HaMikdash and the Bizman the Beis Din, and even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, for a couple hundred years after the Beis HaMikdash, so they used a system in which the Beis Din made the determination whether or not to add this extra year. So it can come in with it's not a total shocker that Beis Din is going to add another month, but it's going to be a game time decision made by Beis Din whether or not to add another month. What we would call in English intercalation. So the Mishnah over here describes how a person makes a neder. Again, going into the year, not knowing whether or not this is going to be a Nibir year, this is going to be a year with an extra month, and then basically makes the decision to add another month, so Nisabra Hashana, so Asabal Vibura, so that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is teaching us that even though you didn't know at the time when you made the Neder that this was going to be a 13th month year, nevertheless, lo and behold, you get a bonus. Now, I don't really mean a bonus, because remember, you're bound by Neder, let's say, for example, that the person's not going to drink wine. So now he was thinking in his head, okay, 12 months, I'm not going to drink wine. For whatever reason, he made the neder. Now he gets the 13th month, so he gets the 13th month. He's bound by the neder for 13 months. Ad Rosh Adar. Now, let's say he makes a neder and he says, I'm going to not drink wine until the beginning of Adar, Ad Rosh Adar HaRishon. So that neder is going to bind him not to drink wine until the beginning of Adar. And let's say that year there were two Adars. So he said Rosh Adar. He said the beginning of Adar. So presumably what he meant was the first Adar, in other words, for sure, not the second month of Adar, but already by the beginning of the first Adar. He's released by his neder. Let's say Ad Sof Adar. But let's say this is where it gets a little bit more complicated. Let's say he makes a neder and he's not going to drink wine until Sof Adar, until the end of Adar. What is he going to do? Purim that year? Okay, I guess that's, you know, in terms of the mitzvah of drinking, okay, I guess he'll figure it out. But in the meantime, however, he said Sof Adar. But here's where it gets a little bit complicated. Let's say this particular year, let's say Beis Din decides to add another Adar. And so now he's looking at two Adars. And let's look at the wording of his neder. The wording of his neder was, I'm not going to drink wine until the end of Adar. So then it only begs the obvious question, which Adar did he mean, the first one or the second one? Well, he didn't express that in the neder that he made, so the question then becomes, which Adar? So Sof Adar Rishon. So the way we have the Girsa in our Mishnah is Sof Adar Rishon, the neder is going to take him till the end of Adar number one. Now the Rambam does point out over here that he had another Girsa in the Gemara, and you can actually see it on the side, where it's not Ad Sof Adar Rishon, but it's rather Ad Sof Adar Sheni. We'll go over the Rambam in just a moment. Okay. The There is a lengthy run on the bottom over here for the consideration of time and the need to catch up. I'm not going to go through it, but please take a look. The run points out that there are certain times when a yearly neder is from is going to be 12 months, even though our Mishnah says that if there's an Ibur Yor, it's an Ibur Yor and there's another month that's added, so you're going to be bound by that extra month. But there are going to be occasions where a neder is always going to be just 12 months. Okay, take a look at the run where he has a lengthy discussion about that topic. We're going to go straight to the Gemara, but before we go to the Gemara, let's however go over two girsos of the Mishnah. Again, we're talking now about where he made the ned and neder, and the neder takes him up to Adar, and now the basin decided to put in two Adars. Okay, and the question now becomes, which Adar did he mean? So if he said the beginning, so that's fine, that's easy. So it's going to take him to the beginning of the first Adar. Okay, what if he says to the end? So there, the Mishnah says his neder is going to take him to the end of. Now our Mishnah says Adar Rishona, and as I pointed out a moment ago, there's another girsa in the Mishnah. So take a look at the Ran on the top of the next Amud, where the Ran discusses these two girsos. So you just have to turn the page, and we're going to then turn back. The Ran on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Beis writes at Rosh Chodesh Adar, at Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon, at Sof Adar Rishon. Kachi Iker Hagirsa. So the Ran says, first of all, this is what he believes is the main girsa, meaning the more correct girsa. V'tamim mishum da'adar stama risho mashma. So the Ran says, and I'll tell you why. Because when you say Adar, even if there are two coming up on the calendar, so colloquially, and again, we're talking about Nedarim, so everything really is colloquially. That's the most critical condition when it comes to Nedar. What is understood when people speak? Colloquially, so we talk of Adar, we mean the first Adar. So Degarsi Atzof Adar, Atzof Adar, I'm sorry, Risha Mashma. So that's an explanation of what the Ram believes is the main girsa of the Mishnah. So when you say the end of Adar, even if there's two, you really mean the end of the first one, because colloquially, the first Adar is what people speak when they say Adar. Okay. Now, by the way, in of itself, that's a very interesting position to take, that when there are two Adars, when we speak colloquially, we mean the first Adar, and it's interesting because when we talk about which Adar is celebrated, I mean, we know that in Adar is the Yantav of Purim, 14th day of Adar. Now, if there's two Adar, so which of those months is Purim going to be observed? So, first of all, you're safe to say that it's a machlokus, because it is. But the accepted halacha is that it's the second Adar, Adar Beis, Adar Sheni, is going to be the month in which Purim is going to be observed. So it's just interesting because if Purim is the gauge in terms of how people view which Adar is the main Adar, so then it would be the second Adar. But again, we're talking about Nedarim right now. We're just talking about how people converse with one another. And colloquially, the first Adar is the, quote-unquote, the main Adar, if you will. Now, the Iga de Garci, now let's take a look at the Ran as he continues to discuss the other Girsa. Atzof Adar, Atzof Adar Sheni, Demash Malay, Deshnei Adarim Kechodesh Echadhein. Now, the Ran over here says, now, let me just set up this side of the Ran as follows. It's interesting, where in this Girsa, which again, the Ran doesn't love, but he acknowledges it's a Girsa, and that is that if he says the beginning of Adar, it's the beginning of the first Adar. If he says the end of Adar, it's the end of the second Adar. So, there's a built-in question, which is, how do you understand this Girsa? Meaning, will the real Adar please stand up? Well, if it's the first Adar, that's the real Adar. And again, by real, I just simply mean the colloquially accepted Adar. So if the first Adar is the real Adar, so then it should be the beginning of that the first Adar or the end of the first Adar. If the second Adar is the colloquially accepted Adar, so it should either be the beginning of the second Adar or the end of the second Adar. And here in this other Girsa, the Ran points out that, again, I'm setting up the question. The Ran points out that it's a little bit strange, where the beginning means the beginning of the first Adar, and the end means the end of the second Adar. So what does that mean in terms of how we view them? So that's what the Ran is dealing with, and the Ran says, do you know how we view it? It's the two Adars are really just one long month. The Ran writes, Hilka, ki amar ad rosh, I'm sorry, let me read the critical line. Atzof Adar Sheni, demashma le'dishnei Adarim, kechodesh echad. if you're going to go with this other girsa, so that means that the two Adarim are really considered in 1 month. Hilkach, therefore, ki amarad rosh mitzarad rosh chodesh ad rishon, v'chemarad sof mitzarad sof ad sheni. Okay, very interesting. That's how you would have to explain the second girsa. From this point going forward, right? I mentioned the second girsa. We're really going to go now back to the first girsa. We're going to explain the Gemara using the first girsa, the one that the Ran himself prefers. Okay. Let's go back now. Let's turn back to Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Let's finish up. Let's start with the Gemara. Amas Stamad Adar Dekama Rishon Hu. Okay, our Mishnah sounds like Stamad Adar. In other words, when a person says the word Adar, without any further explanation, it's Adar Rishon. It's the first Adar. And again, the way that we see that in our Mishnah, again, let's go with the first Girsa. It just fits in better. Because in the first Girsa, we said, beginning of Adar Rishon. End of Adar Rishon. All you said is the word Adar, and Mistama, ostensibly, it's a reference to Adar Rishon. So Amistama Dad Zakama Rishon Huvalema Masis and Rabbi Huda Hiditanya. So the Gemara says, okay, so what it sounds like now is our Mishnah is following the viewpoint of Rabbi Huda. Let's learn together a Braisa. Adar Rishon Kosev Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni Kosev Adar Stam, Div Rabbi Meir. Right, we are now discussing how to properly date your documents. So, if it's Adar Rishon, so you should write Adar Rishon. If it's Adar Sheni, all you need to do is just simply write Adar Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the words of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Adar Rishon Kosev Stam. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, no, if it's the first Adar, you just simply need to write Adar. Adar, generic Adar is Adar number one. And Adar Sheni Kosev Tinan, Tanin. And if it's the second Adar, so you write Adar the second. Adar 2. So, it seems now, it's pretty straightforward. In other words, our Mishnah that describes the first Adar as being the generic Adar seems to be going alongside the opinion of Rav Yehuda, where Rav Yehuda describes that when there are two Adars on the calendar, and you're dating your document, so if you write Adar by itself, that's a reference to Adar Rishon. If you want to make a reference to Adar Beis, you write on the document, Adar Beis, the second Adar. Good. It's not great, as we generally know, when you have a Mishnah, you don't like the Mishnah to be going against Rabbi Meir. We have a general rule, Stam Mishnah Kareb Meir, when you have an anonymous Mishnah like we have over here, so generally follows the opinion of Rabbi Meir, and here we're having a Mishnah now that doesn't seem to be going like Rabbi Meir, which prompts Abaye to say the following, Amar Abaye, Afilotem Rabbi Meir. Had yada de ma'abra shasa had lo yada. So Rabbi Meir will say like this. We could just simply say that our Mishnah and the Braisa that we just learned is dealing with two different scenarios. If you did not know that there was another Adar that was coming, and remember, in my introduction, we pointed out, it's very possible that the year's coming to an end. When I say the year's coming to an end, I'm talking about Nisan being month number one. The year is coming to an end, and right now on the calendar there's one Adar, and it's very possible that Basin's going to make a decision. And remember, when it was left to Basin to make the decision, it was always a game time decision. They made the decision, maybe as early as a Shvat, but usually they'll make the decision sometime in Adar. So it's a game time decision. So it's very possible that when the person made the Neder, he simply did not know that there was going to be a second Adar. That's why he said Adar, without being specific, because right now on the calendar there's only one Adar. And then, if a second Adar opens up, well, he didn't know that. That's why his Adar was going on Adar number one. That's our Mishnah. However, in the Braisa, where we're saying that if you want to express the first Adar, according to Rabbi Meir, if you want to express the first Adar, you have to write Adar Rishon. If you want to express the second Adar, so then you write Adar Stam. Well, how does that Mishnah work with, how does that Braisa work with our Mishnah? So Abai's answering, well, the Braisa could be talking about a case where we know that we are in the first Adar, meaning we know there are two Adarim. And we know they're in the first Adar, or we know we're in the second Adar. So when you have knowledge of the fact, so now, how do people refer to it now that it's here? Well, the first Adar is Adar Rishon, and the second Adar is called generic Adar. Good. That's how we could synthesize the Braisa and the Mishnah. Vihatanya. And the Gemara here quotes a Braisa. This Braisa is Nichusa. It's a support for what we just stated, and that is Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. If... This is this is a Tosefta. And the Tosefta says that if you say until Rosh Chodesh Adar, you mean Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. Imai says Shana Mu'beres Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. So, and if it's a Ibriyar, if another month is added, so then you take it's taken to Rosh Chodesh Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. So the Gemara says, Mechlal Dereshal Abu Mu'beres Askinan. So you see that the first part of that brisa was not talking about was it was an ibriyur. Shema mina had the pshita le demahabra shasa had the lo yada. So it's very obvious that when you don't know that it's another adar was introduced, so then when you say the word adar, you mean the first adar because you don't know. But once you know that there's a second adar, and then you just simply say the word adar without any qualification, so that's a reference to the second adar, not the first adar. Good. So the Gemara says, and this is a support that this would be the Shita of Reb Meir, because Reb Meir would describe the second Adar as, quote-unquote, the colloquially accepted Adar. And so therefore, once you know that there's a second Adar, so a generic description of Adar takes us to two, not to one. And again, now we can easily support this position, because again, in our minds, meaning when we speak, and we know there are two Adarim coming up, and we say, I can't wait till Adar. Do you mean Adar Rishon or do you mean Adar Sheni? So again, that's a very general question, but using Purim as the, you know, as a point on the map, on the calendaric map, and saying, well, which one is Purim in? Purim's in the second one. So then you can begin to understand how, once you know there's a second Adar, colloquially we all get it that you're referring to the second Adar, not to the first Adar. Okay. Let's move on to the next Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Konim Yan Sheni Tom Achi Pesach. Now, this last Mishnah, which, by the way, this is it. Meaning, in terms of the end of the eighth perek, it's just Mishnah, right? And you're not going to find this that often that the perek ends with just Mishnayos. The Gemara is not going to comment. The Gemara earlier has commented on many of these cases in the Mishnah. But let me just give a quick preview to this Mishnah. In this Mishnah, what we're going to learn together is that sometimes, even in the course of a neder, do not take the person super literally. Meaning, there are just certain contextual clues that tell us that this is not exactly what he meant. And you'll see, we're going to go example after example where, even though if you were a literalist, you would say this is what he means with his neder, but don't be a literalist. Meaning, you just have to look at some of the contextual clues, and you'll get that there's a little bit of room, of maneuvering room within the neder. Let's go over a number of examples in the Mishnah. Example number one. Start with the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Konim Yan Sheni Tom Achi Pesach. A person says, I'm not going to drink wine until Pesach. Now he says, Achi Ha Pesach. Now you remember earlier we talked about, when you say Achi, it means up to and including Pesach. So this person is making an edda that I'm not drinking wine until Pesach. And again, in the most literal sense, he means until Pesach comes and goes. But that can't be what he means. Meaning, right, in other words, there's mitzvahs on Pesach, to drink wine. So, oh, I get it. In the context of what he must be saying until Pesach. So, lo nitzkav zeh ad lo Pesach, ad shasheh b'nei adam l'shtos yayin. So, what he meant was, is up until Pesach, but not including Pesach, because obviously what he's trying to do is, basically, who knows, get himself more excited over wine, kind of like the halacha over matzah. You know, everyone's familiar. There's a halacha not to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So, and some have the min of extending it even further back. But according to the strict letter of the Gemara, so the halacha is not to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Why? To get you excited over matzah. Here too could be person's making a neder not to drink wine to get excited, but he doesn't mean up to and including Pesach. He means up to Pesach.
Why can't you nullify his entire neder?
No, because he meant something. And generally speaking, we have a general rule throughout Nedarim that when you say something, you mean something. But again, here, just because of the context, it can't be literally what he meant. So as long as there's another way to just somewhat, just shift a little bit the meaning of the neder, so...
Kiddush for Shabbat.
Yeah, that's a good one. So the Gemara Pesachim says that you don't need wine for Kiddush. You can make wine over bread. Now, exactly under what circumstances can you choose bread over wine? Subject to a debate, but bread is an option. So you can literally go without wine. Amar koni baser sheni tom achi hey atzom. So let's now go over a second example where, again, the same idea. He says, I'm not going to eat meat until tzom. And again, the wording of his neder is until the fast has come. Whenever the Gemara, I know we just went through one, but whenever the Gemara talks about tzom, it's talking about Yom Kippur, right? The fast day, right? Much like, you know, the whole Masechta is called Yuma. Yuma just literally means the day, right? It's the holiest day of the year. It's the day. So the so here, Hatzom, right? The fast day. So we're talking about Yom Kippur. So now he's saying he's not going to eat meat until Yom Kippur comes and goes. But that's not what he meant. And that's not what he meant. Again, contextual clues. We all know that on Erev Yom Kippur, we have a mitzvah to eat. Right? One of the few times in the Torah where, I mean, the Torah doesn't say it explicitly, but one of the few times where there's a positive mitzvah to actually eat. Right? Matzah is the other example. And then after that, you'd be hard-pressed to find a good example of a mitzvah to eat. It's good trivia. And Shabbos, I know, Shabbos we're supposed to, but Shabbos is not, the mitzvah is not to eat, the mitzvah is to enjoy, right? The mitzvah is oneg Shabbos, okay? So, hard-pressed to find good examples in the Torah and throughout the Gemara of mitzvahs where you're supposed to eat, but Erev Pesach is one of them. So what he means is, Eino Aser Ela Ad Lele Tzom. Shalon is coming, Zeh Ela Ad Shashadach Mene Adam Lechol Basar. There is a very ubiquitous minhag, and that is to have a big meal right before Yom Kippur, not just because it's practical, which it is. In other words, it'll help you get through the fast, but also, once again, it's a mitzvah. And also, the accepted minhag is that during that meal, you have meat, right? Chicken was very popular. But still, that's what he meant. Again, even though he said, Achi Yehei Atzom, but again, the contextual clues are telling us he meant up until, but not including Yom Kippur. He meant he's not going to eat meat until Erev Yom Kippur. Rav Yosi Beno Omer Konim Shum Shani Tolem Achitei HaShabbos. Another example. Let's say a person makes a neder that he's not going to eat garlic until Shabbos. And again, the literal formulation of his neder is Achitei HaShabbos until Shabbos has come and gone. Okay, but we know Gemara Baba Kama tells us that Ezra made a number of takanas. One of the takanas of Ezra is that you eat garlic on Erev Shabbos. The reason why is because back then they had a belief, perhaps supported by science of the day, but they had a belief that garlic increased man's potency. And one of the takanas of Ezra was basically that there are not that many Jews living in Israel, and we need to populate, we need to procreate, and so therefore he made a takana that man should eat garlic on Erev Shabbos. So now Ezra, because of Ezra's takana, so everyone ate garlic on Erev Shabbos. So even though the way he formulated the neder was achitehei, it doesn't mean up to and including Shabbos. It means up to Shabbos, but not including Shabbos, meaning Erev Shabbos, elite. Because Eino Aser Ela Ad Lele Shabbos. Shalon is Kavin Ze Ela Ad Shashadarech Mene Adam Lechol Bishum. You're looking at the time when people generally eat garlic, which is Friday night. That's what he meant. Okay, so a number of examples in the Mishnah where the contextual clues will tell you that even though literally his neder means one thing, however, we get to tweak a little bit the definition of the neder just based on the contextual clues. Do we pass like all these examples? So once again, I'm going to point you in the right direction. Take a look at the Ran, where the Ran has a lengthy discussion about this. He points out that it's a machlokes amongst the Rishonim whether or not we pass like these examples. And so see the Ran more for the for discussion of whether or not these are accepted. Other examples in the Mishnah. Amalech haver kodem shani nena lach im ein at ba v'notel avanecha kor echad shalchitim v'sheichav yoshal yayin. So remember we learned earlier in the Masechta. This takes us back to the third parak of Nedarim. So this was some time ago. Chav Dalet. We're right now in Samach Dalet. So this is 40 days ago in the Masechta. We're in Samach Gimel, but okay. The 40 days ago we learned together that a person had enough where the relationship they had with another person was such that he kept on taking, and he wasn't giving anything. And it was just it annoyed him to no end. So he said, "Shani nana lachim ein at ba v'notel avanecha korecha shochitim sheichav yishayin." So he says is to him as follows: look, enough already. Enough with you giving me. I'm not going to get any hana from you until you take something back from me. And as we pointed out earlier in the Masechta, this is, he said this to kind of motivate the other person, to move the other person from his position. So Yachla Hafez Nezer Shalapi Chacham. V'yomar Klum Amart Elam Imne Kvodi Zeu Kvodi. So, and the way that you can be removed, extracted from this neder is, look, you only did that to honor me, this is my honor. Meaning, by you even receiving something from me, that provides an honor to me, and so therefore, there is remuneration in this exchange. There are two directions of this transaction. I give to you, but by giving to you, I get honored by giving to you. So the Gemara says, if that's in fact true, if that's how the giver in fact feels, so then there doesn't need to be a release from the neder. V'chein, and similarly, Amar l'chaver konim shat nenesli im einat bavenosin livni kor shalchitim v'sheicha v'shal yayin. So over here, we're just going to go in the other direction, where in this relationship, so this man just keeps taking, and he doesn't give me anything. And so I say, okay, enough already. Here's the story. You're not going to get any more benefit from me through a neder if you don't give my child a gift. In other words, you can't just be a taker, you got to be a bit of a giver as well. So Meir Omer, Aser Achitain. So Meir says, in such a circumstance, okay, this is a neder. And according to the Chachamim, once again, in this situation, a person can say, look, I know I made a neder, but ki'ilu niskabalti. In other words, you know what? Let's say it's as if I received it, even if he didn't receive it, and that would be enough to annul the neder. Okay. Hi, Masarev Bola says Bo Achosel VaAmar Konim Shehin Enesli LaOlam. Let's say a person was refusing to marry the daughter of his sister. Okay, this is talking about the marriage to your niece. Of all the arayos in the Torah, you'll notice that the one that's not included is that there's no prohibition in the Torah to marry your niece. Furthermore, the Gemara in Yevamos tells us, not only is there no prohibition to marry your niece, but recommended. Okay, it's a recommended thing to marry your niece. Okay, nowadays, I don't know, family dynamics, the modern family, I don't know if it's fully recommended. There is a comment made by Rav Yehuda Chassid that says that you shouldn't marry your niece, but, you know, Rav Yehuda Chassid is a Rishon, and Aliba the Gemara, according to the strict letter of the law, it's perfectly legitimate and, according to the Gemara, even recommended. Okay? It is interesting, by the way, that whenever the Gemara or the Mishnah talks about marrying your niece, it says the daughter of your sister. Okay? And really, halachically, it doesn't matter whether it's the daughter of your sister or the daughter of your brother. But just as a note of interest, whenever it talks about marrying your niece, it mentions the daughter of your sister. Now this person is not marrying his niece. Okay? He was refusing. And the Amar Konim Shehin Enesli La'olam. And he makes a neder and as part of his position of refusal. V'chein. Hamegar Shesisha Omar Konim Shehin Enesli La'olam. And a man, upon divorcing his wife, says, I'm not going to get, she's not going to get any benefit from me forever. So over here, it was really a directed neder. It was a neder to make a particular point. It wasn't objectively a neder. It was just a neder to reinforce this idea that I'm not marrying my niece. He made a neder, but again, the point of the neder was just simply, I'm not marrying my niece. Similarly, when he says that I'm divorcing my wife and I'm making a neder, again, the neder was there just to make a directive point. So once again, there was a relationship between two men, and one kept inviting the one or the other one over. The other one kept saying, no, thank you, no, thank you. And finally, just to make sure that the first one understood that no means no, he says, "Konim leveis chashani nechnas." Right? I'm making a neder that I'm not walking into your house, or I'm not having even a drink of cold water from you. Again, there the neder was just to make a directive point. It was just simply to say, hey, I'm not going to eat by you. He didn't really mean, I'm making a neder, I'm not going into your house. It just simply was there to punctuate the idea that no means no, I'm not eating by you. But he can walk into the house and he can have a cold cup of water. It just simply was to support the position that I'm not eating by you. Okay. Hadrach HaKonem Yayin, that is the end of the 8th parak. We begin this morning now the 9th parak of the Masechta. And now, here we go, last three parakim. 9, 10, 11 are the parakim dedicated to the topic of getting out of a neder. We spent, right, the Masechta is a little bit unbalanced in terms of 8 parakim of the Masechta dedicated to the topic of how to get into a neder, which you shouldn't do, but if you do it, here's how you get into a neder. And now we talk about extraction. So in the 9th, 10th, 11th parakim of our Masechta, we talk about how one extracts himself from a neder. Let's go over what we've already seen earlier in the Masechta, but let us review. In terms of extraction from a neder, so there are really two paths one can go down to get extracted from a neder. Now, there's another path altogether, and that is hafara, absolvement of the neder from either the father or from the husband. But that's not our topic for today. That's not our discussion. That comes up later in the Masechta. We're talking now about the release from a neder, which can be done in one of two ways. Number one is what's called charata. Charata is regret. Now, regret doesn't mean that I regret it now, because I'm sure anyone who makes a neder, after he calms down and realizes what he said and what he did, is going to end up regretting it. Regret means that at the time when you made the neder, you regret it even then. Meaning at the time you knew you were making a mistake. Well, why did you make it? So, because the person was overheated, really angry, wasn't in control of his emotions, and was not thinking logically. But at the time regretted it. And I'm sure we can all relate that at the time when you do something, you know it's a mistake, but you're doing it anyway. And again, it's something I'm sure we can all relate to. That's one way to get out of a neder. It's what's called charata. And then there's another way to get out of a neder. And again, this involves going to a, both of them involve going to a chacham. And that is what's called a pesach. A pesach is an opening. And an opening means that at the time when you made the neder, you didn't take into consideration X, Y, and Z, which were factors which, had you thought about at the time when you made the neder, you would not have made the neder. If a Pesach opens itself up after you made the neder, this is a principle called nolad, and we're going to be discussing nolad today. In other words, can you release somebody from a neder based on a consideration that only makes itself available after you made the neder? So we're going to see the answer is no. But as we're going to see later today, that's subject to a machlokes between the Tanaim. But the conclusion is you can't do that. That's making a Pesach using a nolad. Okay. So there are two avenues in which a person can get out of neder, charat and Pesach. We will be discussing for today, and really for a good part of this parak, we're going to be discussing Pesach. Again, going to a chacham. And the chacham now is going to review what the neder is that you made and the considerations that you did not take into consideration at the time when you made the neder. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, we open up with the Mishnah on Samach Dalamad Aleph. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, poskan la'adam b'chvod aviv v'imo. So Rabbi Eliezer says, here's something where you could take into consideration, and that is, did you think at the time when you made the neder what mom and dad would have thought? Rabbi Eliezer says, that is a legitimate way to get somebody out of a neder. Look at the first run of the Mishnah. Look at the first line of the page, Samach Dalamad Aleph. The Ran writes, Sha'omrim lo ilo ha'isi yodesh mevazen avicha v'imecha al sha'ata kal b'nedarim. Did you realize how embarrassing this is going to be to your parents? K'da amrina dekaru l'rishia bar tzedika rishia bar rishia. And in other words, we know that anyone who makes a neder is a rasha. We've talked about that earlier in the Masechta. And they generally say, you know, rasha bar rasha. Meaning, it's right, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And generally speaking, we have a general assumption in life, and that is that when you hear a child saying something, they're not coming up with it on their own. They heard that in the house, and they're repeating what they heard in the house. So you're making nedarim, oh, your parents must do the same thing as well. You must have learned it from them. So now, let's talk about a significant guilt trip. So now you say to the person, or Rabbi Lazar says that what you can say to the person is, you know, did you take into consideration when you made the neder that this is what mom and dad would have thought? Rabbi Lazar says that's a legitimate way to get a person out of a neder. V'chachamim osrim. And the chachamim said, no, you can't use that. That cannot be used as a Pesach, for reasons which we're going to outline in detail in the Gemara. Am Rabbi Tzadok Ad Sheposchem Lo Bechvod Aviv Ve'Imo Yiftechu Lo Bechvod Amakom. So Rabbi Tzadok, now this is Rabbi Tzadok chastising the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Look, Rabbi Eliezer, you think that it's fair and it's legitimate to go over to a person and say, well, did you think about what mom and dad would have thought? So Rabbi Tzadok says to Rabbi Eliezer, well, why don't you just take it to its logical conclusion? Meaning, if you want to guilt trip somebody, so we're Jewish people, we're very good at this. You want to really guilt somebody in, so Rabbi Tzadok says to Rabbi Eliezer, why don't you say, you know, what would God have thought had you made the neder at the time when you made the neder? And for some reason, Rabbi Eliezer, you didn't go that far. Why didn't you go that far? So it's like kind of like a built-in question to Rabbi Eliezer. But Rabbi Eliezer has an answer. And the Gemara says, Im Kain, Ein Nedarim. So Rabbi Eliezer's response is, oh, come on. If that would be the case, there would never be a neder. Meaning, who would say, who would have the audacity of the gall? Now I'm giving away some of the Gemara, but who would have the audacity and the gall to say, you know, oh, you're right. If I would have thought of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have thought at the time when I made the neder, I knew it would never have made the neder. Like, and understood. But the point is that no one's going to have the audacity in the chutzpah to actually say, I would have made it anyway. In other words, the whole idea behind the Pesach is that the person's going to give a legitimate and sincere and honest answer to the question of, would you have made the neder? So it can't be something which provides this kind of guilt, where there's only one real answer that the person's going to give, even if it's not an honest answer. So if you ask the question, well, what, did you take into consideration what God would have thought? No one's going to give the honest answer and say, yeah, I thought about it, and you know what? Okay, yeah, and I would have done it anyway. I mean, you know, in certain contexts, maybe, but, you know, you remember, the Pesach is, you're standing in front of the Rav, and, you know, he's, you know, hopefully, you know, he's intimidating looking, he's scary looking, and, you know, he's, and you're not going to do that. So anyway, so Rabbi Eliezer's response back to the Chachamim is, yeah, I know. The reason why I'm not going to use HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Pesach is because no one's going to give an honest answer. Which is interesting, because what he's also saying is people would be honest about the parents and their parents' feelings. Okay, which we're going to go back to, and we're going to discuss a little bit later on as well. Now, Now, here's one place where the Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Eliezer. So again, we have a machlokas and a mission between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. Chachamim said, you can't use your parents as a Pesach. And the Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you can. But the Chachamim would agree. But let's say the neder actually is between a child and his parents. So for example, the Ron says, let's say the child says, I'm not getting benefit from my parents. Okay, they have an argument, they have a dispute. Unfortunately, this is what happens in life. And the argument gets punctuated with, that's it, I'm making a neder, I'm not going to get any benefit from you. So if the neder itself is actually between the child and his parents, so then under these circumstances, the Chachamim would say to Rabbi Eliezer, you know what, here we agree. The Chacham can use the feelings and the honor of the parents as a legitimate Pesach to get out of this neder. And again, when we get to the Gemara, we're going to be discussing why the Chachamim would agree in such a case. I'm sorry, but Shaposlam b'chvod avi v'imo. Okay, next in the Mishnah. V'od amar Rabbi Eliezer. Now here, new topic, not totally new, because we're still within the basic umbrella of a Pesach to get you out of a neder. But now, new discussion within that, and that is poschem menolad. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you can take a nolad into consideration to get somebody out of his neder. Which means, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that, let's say, a factor has unfolded after the neder was made. Where? Now that I would have, if I would have known that when I made the neder, even though right now it didn't happen yet, and I'd have to forecast the future. But if I could have forecasted the future and I would have known about that, I never would have made that neder. Rabbi Eliezer says that's a legitimate Pesach. The Chacham Moshrim, and the Chacham say, no, it's not. It's not legitimate. Ketzad, so the Mishnah over here just goes over a couple of examples. Konin. Shaninena lishponi v'nasa sofer. Right? A person has done with this person to me is... he doesn't exist. Or, he exists, but I'm not going to get any benefit from him. And then it turns out, lo and behold, that that person becomes a sofer. Sofer in this context means he's a Talmid Chacham, teacher of Torah. And now I need him. I need to learn Torah from him. Now we did have a discussion earlier in the Masechta. Yeah, that teaching Torah is not right, is not hana, and you shouldn't learn from and you would be able to learn from him. Okay. Right, okay. So correct. So over here maybe the need over here is more than just the learning of Torah. It could be also maybe, although the Ran doesn't say this. All right, maybe it has to do with maybe you need him to write a get or to... Okay, in other words, but you need his services. Let's just keep it simple. At the time when you made the neder, he was not a sofer. He only became a sofer after you made the neder. All right, let's go over another example. Oshe amasis beno v'amar ila isi yodeh shehu nasis sofer. Oshe amasis beno b'kar of la isi noder. Or let's say for another example is that you make a chasna. Okay, at the time when they made the neder, I don't want to get any benefit from that guy, and then all of a sudden that guy's making a wedding. Now again, by the way, this is not such hard forecasting, meaning most people with children, thank God, make a wedding. So we're not talking about something that is totally unenvisionable. However, at the time when he made the neder, it was a factor that didn't exist yet. And then after having made the neder, now he's marrying off a child. Ooh, if I would have known that he was marrying off a child and making a wedding, I never would have made the neder. That's nolad. That's a future event. So according to Rabbi Lazar, that works. Konim b'ayzeh shani nichnas. A third example in the Mishnah. Let's say a person has something against that house for whatever reason. He makes a neder that he's not going to walk into that house. V'nasa beis hakneses, and lo and behold, that house turns into a shul. So Amar Ilya Isi Yodesh, v'nasa beis hakneses, la Isi Noder. And once again, if I would have known that would have happened, I never would have made my neder. Rabbi Eliezer, Matev Chacham Moser. So in all these cases, and by the way, the Ran says that we're going all the way back to the beginning of the Mishnah as well. In all these cases, Rabbi Eliezer says it's okay, it's acceptable. And again, just as a quick review, Rabbi Lazar says, what's acceptable? What's acceptable is that if you go to a Chacham and he provides a Pesach for you using the honor of your mother and your father, Rabbi Lazar says, acceptable. If you want to make a Pesach using an event that didn't yet occur at the time of the Neder, but only materialized after the Neder was made, Rabbi Lazar says, that's fine. And in both circumstances, the Chachamim said, no and no. No, you cannot use the honor of your mother and your father as a way of extraction, of a way of getting somebody out of a neder. And no, you cannot use a nolad as a means of a Pesach. Okay.
That shul is not a house anymore. It's changed status.
Changed status, but it's not changed structure. In other words, structure. Let's assume structurally it's the same structure. So it's not a new entity.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, sorry, right. In other words, the neder was against the building.
But then it's still going to
okay. If he does, but this cannot be used as a means of extraction. He'll have to find some of the means of extraction, something that existed at the time when he made the neder.
What do we go by today?
Sages? Yeah. Rabbi Lutz's position is generally speaking an unaccepted position throughout. Okay, we'll talk more about that. My ain nedarim. Now, remember, back in the Mishnah, there was an exchange between Rabbi Lazar and I'm sorry, Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim, and Rabbi Lazar allowed the honor of one's mother and father to be used as a way of getting somebody out of a neder, and the Chachamim say it's aser. So, and then Rabbi Tzadok said, well, to Rabbi Eliezer, why don't you go one step further? Meaning, instead of using the honor of your mother and your father, right? In other words, if all you're doing is trying to guilt somebody into regretting having made the neder, so why don't you go one step further and say a Kadosh Baruch Hu? And Rabbi Lazar had an answer for that, and that answer was im kein ein nedarim. Now that response by Rabbi Eliezer is really not, that doesn't say much. All it says is, well, then there's no neder. But what does that mean? which is what we're going to be discussing right now. So, Imkein my Nedarim. So, the Gemara gives two explanations. Amar Abai Imkein Ein Nedarim Nitarim Yafeh. So, Abai gives an explanation. The explanation of Abai is, Well, if such is the case where you could use a Kadosh Baruch Hu as a means and an avenue of getting somebody out of a neder, no one's going to be honest. Look at the Ran. The Ran explains. I'm going to read the Ran inside. Shafil im mitchila lo haya nimna min mechvad amalkam lo yais panav bekach. Let's say this person really didn't care about what God felt. Okay, honestly, he didn't care. He made the neder, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is not happy with me making a neder. To be brutally honest, okay, he's not happy. However, lo yais panav bekach lifnei chacham yishaker. But then what? Then you're going to go in front of a talmid chacham, someone who represents Torah, who is obviously a strong advocate and following HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're going to lie. In other words, probably not. Let me make that statement correct. And you're going to tell the truth, which is you didn't care what God thought. You're not going to tell the truth. And Abai says that's exactly why Rabbi Eliezer says, I won't take it that far. Meaning because no one is going to be that honest and no one's going to say, honestly, right, despite the fact that I knew that God was listening and there would be a front to Hashem, I would have made it anyway. No one would be that honest. And that's not what we want in a Pesach. What we want in a Pesach is honesty. Otherwise, it's not a release. Now that we have to go on in the run, because now let's argue the other direction, which is, well, a person's not going to be honest as it relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he is going to be honest as it relates to his parents. So Rabbi Eliezer says, yeah. This is exactly the point of debate between the Chacham and Rabbi Elazar. The Chachamim say, just like a person is not going to be honest as it relates to, had he known what God thought, a person also is not going to be honest as it relates to his parents. Meaning, I knew at the time when I made my neder that my parents wouldn't have been happy, but so what? That's how he really felt. Then in front of a chacham, when the chacham asks him, did you know what your parents were thinking? So according to the chachamim, a person is not going to tell the truth. And therefore it doesn't result in a legitimate Pesach. And Rabbi Eliezer savra b'chvod amakam hu de'ein adameiz ava b'chvod aviv imo meiz hilkach poschem. And on this point, Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that no, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no one's going to be that chutzpahdik. In terms of the parents, people would be that chutzpahdik. In the world of a Pesach, I know it sounds funny, but in the world of a Pesach, that's a good thing. Good meaning that that's exactly what we want. We want honesty. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, people would be honest even at the expense of being chutzpahdik to their parents. Now, just as one point of interest, the halacha doesn't side with Rabbi Eliezer, the halacha sides with the chacham, and we made that point already. Just as an interesting side point over here, we know where they agree, we know where they disagree. When it comes to the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they agree. No one's going to be that brutally honest. And so therefore, the Chvod HaMakom does not serve as a Pesach. When it comes to your parents, they disagree. Rabbi Lazar says a person would be brutally honest, and the Chachamim said no. What about one's Rebbe? Okay? I bring this up because I know something. If I didn't know, I wouldn't have brought it up. I just would have ignored it. And not showing off my ignorance, which I can do very often. The Ran shares with us the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi writes that the Ran is right before the Gemara. The line before. Yerushalmi al komod mechvod rabo she'enu ma'amid detanin amore rabcha kamar shamayim hilkach ein poskim bo. Just like the Chacham and Rabbi Lazar agree that no one's going to be that brazen to talk about the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, similarly, no one's going to be that brazen and say, if I would have known what my Rebbe would have thought, I wouldn't have made the neder. So in other words, the Rebbe is more comparable with the Kadosh Baruch Hu than he is with your parents. All this is very interesting. Remember the Gemara in Kedushin, I feel like we all did, although in the Daf Yomi it's closer on the front end than it is on the back end. But the Gemara in Kedushin that talks about the all the halachas of Kibra Ve'aim, so the Gemara says multiple times that the honor that you have to your parents is the same as the honor you have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's very interesting because in our discussion over here, the Chachamim's position, which is the accepted position, is in principle, yes, but practically speaking, people are apt to be more chutzpahdik to their parents than they are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, it's a lot to take into consideration. So again, let's go back. Let's just finish up this give and take. When our Mishnah, we said that when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you cannot. Everyone agrees you cannot use that as a pesach because ein nedarim. What does that mean? So again, Abai's pshat was ein nedarim nedarim yafeh. Well, the neder won't get. Will not be properly released because no one's going to be that honest. Rava Amar, we're on the top now of Samach Dalam and Beis. Rava Amar, Im Kenan and Darm Nisham Lechacham. So Rava says, well, no one's going to go to a Chacham. Now the Ran gives two explanations. Right now we will limit I'll limit my comments to just the first explanation of the Ran. And that is the following. If God could be used as a method of release from a neder, well, that's ubiquitous. Meaning, that could be used for any neder under any occasion. Did you think about what God would have thought? Now, if that's always going to be a means of releasing somebody from a neder, so then, by all means, now we have the ace card that will get us out of any neder. And if that's true, I no longer need to go to a chacham. And the whole idea behind the Pesach is, a person cannot release himself from a neder that he made. So it's like jail, right? You can't release yourself from jail. Someone else has to release you. Nedarim operate in the same mechanism. You can't release yourself from a neder. Someone has to do it for you. And so if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the ace card, so then no one's going to ever need a chacham, and that's not how psachim work. And then what you're going to have to do, and the Ran does this, and again, you can go through it inside, is that somehow you're going to have to argue that using Hashem as a Pesach is not going to be good because it's just too easy, and we're going to get the Chacham out of the picture, and somehow using the covet of your mother and your father, well, that's something that you wouldn't have thought of, and therefore you go to a Chacham. That's a little bit tricky. And the Ran recognizes that's a little bit tricky, but that's what you're going to have to argue on behalf of Rebbe Elazar. Okay. Tanan, just finishing up the thread. Now, what if the neder actually relates to you and your parents? So then the Chachamim agree. Now, let's think this through. Now, according to Abaye, it's perfect. Because according to Abaye, what's the issue? The pressing issue is that a person would not be that chutzpahdik and lie. Here, he would be. Because think about what his neder was to begin with. My neder was directed directly at my parents. Okay, fine. So he's right. So you're worried about him. Huh? Yeah, correct. You're worried about him not being honest? Oh, he's going to be honest. So if, in fact, he would have said, he would have actually thought about the honor of his parents at the time when he made a neder, he would have told you. So in other words, I understand now why in this case, according to Abaye, why the Chachamim agreed to Rebbe Elazar. Elul Rava Damar im kein nedarim nisham lechacham hachamai poskin. So, but according to Rava, remember, what's the issue according to Rava? The issue is that once you give a universal release, so then you're not going to go to a Chacham anymore. So why should it matter now, in this case, if the neder was made against somebody else, or if the neder was directly at your parents? Meaning, if the issue is universal release, well, this is universal release. So the Gemara answers in defense of Rava's explanation, look, we always go to a Chacham. We have to go to a Chacham. That's how Nedarim are released. So over here, you're going to go to a Chacham anyway. Now, in this very limited circumstance, where remember, in this limited circumstance where your neder was directed at your parents, you're going to go to a Chacham anyway. So because this is such a limited scenario, so the Chachamim allowed you to use your parents as a means of extraction. But generally speaking, it's not going to be used, and so therefore, it won't serve as universal release, only because it's such a limited circumstance that the Chachamim allowed the limited usage. Okay, period. Okay, let's just wrap it up, and we'll continue tomorrow with Nolad. Discussion of Nolad. So we finished today the eighth parak of the Masechta. We talked about we talked about which adar is the real adar, and again, that's not really the right way to say it. It's just a question of what is colloquially understood as the generic adar. Adarishan or adarsheni, seemingly a machlokis, although there were two girsos in the Mishnah. Okay. Then a discussion in the Mishnah that really took us to the end of the parak, and that is that can we reinterpret the neder based on contextual clues? So according to a number of Tanaim, the answer is yes, and the Rishonim debate whether or not that's accepted as the halacha. And then we started today the ninth parak of the Masechta. The ninth parak opens up the introduction of, and I mean that, by the way, pun intended, opens up the discussion of Pesach, of making a getting out of a neder, going to a chacham and out and giving him giving you an out to your neder, a release to your neder. So the first two machloksim that we saw in the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar says that you can extract using the honor of your mother and your father as a means of a Pesach. The Chachamim disagree. Rabbi Elazar says you can extract somebody from a neder using Nolad, an event that occurs after the neder was made, and the Chachamim disagree with that. We discussed so far why the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Elazar. Two possible explanations that we saw together in the Gemara. And tomorrow we're going to be discussing Nolad.